Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, a popular scripture, especially for this time of year, but I've got a different twist that I'd like to come from today. Not as though, this is Paul talking to the church at Philippi, not as though I've already attained, either we're already perfect. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm not perfect. Did that shock him? I hear people laughing when you said that. I'm not perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend, for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind me, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject. Goodbye, 2020. Goodbye. Everybody's like, yeah, that's a good one. Goodbye, 2020. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A recent client of mine that we'll just call Jim to protect his identity, because he is a Facebook friend and he does watch frequently here at Living Way. I don't think he's ever been here, but he watches frequently. So we'll just call him Jim. He said to me while we were conducting business, he said, 2020 has been one hell of a year. To which I replied, Jim, hell will be a lot worse, and I'm not going. To which he responded, well, then that's not good for me. Then I responded with the emoji face of the wide eyes, like, you know you're going to hell and you don't want to do anything about it? And whether you go to hell or whether you have hell on earth, let me just tell you, hell on earth is not hell. Because hell is the worst place you can be, because hell is not just about fire. It's not just about the craziness of literally being burned alive in your body to be regenerated and burned alive and regenerated and burned alive for eternity. That's forever. The worst part about hell is the absence of Jesus Christ. Think about this. As long as we have lived on this earth, people of God, we have never lived a day without God being somewhere on the earth. Even if he wasn't sitting on the thrones of our heart, he was near us. The reason I know he was near us is the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So even if he wasn't in your heart, he was around your heart. Even if he wasn't sitting on the throne of our life, he was in and around our life. He was so close that when we call out to him, he answers. That when we need God and we reach out to him, he is close enough for us to grasp. 2020 has been a tough year for most. I am not naive to the fact that families have lost relatives, that jobs have been lost, small businesses have gone under, that physical abuse and depression have skyrocketed because they have put dysfunctional people and families that were only used to seeing each other 1 to 2 hours a day now in very close quarters for hours on end, days on end, and here we are 9 months of quarantine. But my mission today is to not focus on what we've lost and focus on what has been lost, but my mission today is to do exactly what John the Revelator encouraged us in Revelation 3:2. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain and are ready to die. I've got good news for you. You are not dead, praise God. You have life in you. You have life in front of you. I believe that your greatest days are still yet to be lived. I believe the greatest moments of your life are not behind you. They are still yet in front of you. I believe the greatest and the strongest days of your marriage are in front. I believe that you're still going to see your children grow up to do amazing things in this world and for the kingdom of God. I am not a doomsday preacher. I know it's getting dark out there, but I know that because I have Jesus and I have the light of the world shining in me, that the darker it gets out there, the lighter and the brighter that we shine and the lighter and the brighter that we become. And so instead of listening to CNN and Fox News, I've tuned into the good news more in the last 9 months than I have the last 9 years. And I'm here to tell you that God's plans are still to prosper you. They're plans not of evil, to give you an expected end. God still wants to heal you. God still wants to deliver you. God's plan is still in effect. God still wants to use you, David. Esther, God still wants to use you. God still has a plan for us. So my encouragement is the same encouragement of John. Be watchful. Be careful. Strengthen those things. Strengthen the people which remain that are ready to die. We're not dying. We're going over. There is one phrase that we need to do away with if we believe that 2021 is going to be a great year, or perhaps somebody's face says the greatest year of your life. And this is the phrase we must crucify, kill, and never use again. This has been the worst year of my life. I've heard it said. I've heard it said from godless people. I've seen people right here in this building posted on Facebook. But let me remind you, I know that that statement comes from a place of hurt, comes from a place of toughness, comes from a place where things have not gone right, but I'm going to prove to you that the statement that this is the worst year of my life is not true for anybody in this building or watching online. Because for those of us in this room, we live some years BC. That's before Christ. I'd rather go through 20 years of 2020 with Jesus than 20 minutes of what I thought was the best year of my life without Jesus. I'd rather be in the palm of God's hand with all hell breaking loose around me than to be in the middle of the hell thinking that everything's going good. Can I encourage somebody today? I know the last 9 months has been tough. It's been rough. We almost sank in some cases. You almost threw the towel in some cases. You almost quit, but I've come to encourage somebody today. Almost doesn't count. You didn't quit. You didn't give up. You didn't die. And I know it's been rough, but 2020 might have been a tough year, but it wasn't the worst year, because I've been walking hand in hand. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of COVID, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of uncertainty in finances, when I walk through the valley of crazy politics, I will fear no evil. Why? Not because of you, not because of the church, but because God is with me. We can shut the doors. We can still have church. We can go online. We can still have church. It might have been a bad year, but it's not your worst year. Because God has matched you step for step. God has answered you every time you have cried and every time you have called out and you say, it doesn't seem like he answered me. The fact that you're sitting on a purple padded pew today, you got to realize that even though it didn't sound like he was talking, he was still talking and you were still listening. Because if he wasn't talking and you weren't listening, you would have already hit snooze for the 8th time. You'd be getting ready to watch football today. But look at you in your right mind, in your best clothes, in the church house today with all the calamities of this world, and still you have your hands up saying, I don't need nothing else but you, Jesus. I don't need anything else but a relationship with you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's time to say goodbye to what is behind us. When we say this has been the worst year of my life, we're saying three things. We are telling the devil what he's doing is working. Woo! You would never tell him that in those words. But when we get a bad declaration of fear and not of faith, we tip our hand to the adversary, who we know comes to do three things. And what are those three things? To steal, kill, and destroy. And when he comes in like a flood, like he did in March with this COVID thing, and when he comes in with all of the craziness that 2020 has carried, and we start getting worried, and we start getting anxious, and we start hiding, and we start cowering, he's saying, turn up the level, because what I'm doing is affecting them. But praise God, we're in church today with amazing people, because you sitting here today, you have proven to the adversary what you are doing is not working. I still believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I
still believe that the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Can I get a witness in the house this morning? He's tried his best in 2020, but here we are, still serving, still praising, still faithing, still focusing our worship and praise towards him. So when we will not bow and use those types of confessions, we put the devil in a place where he's confused, because he looks at Living Way and he looks at faith-filled people all over this globe that in the middle of all of what we're going through, they are still giving and serving and loving and worshiping and being the hands, feet, and face of Jesus, and it confuses him. But for those of you, your confession has been, this has been the worst year of my life. Change that confession. Remember, I'm a word preacher, and I always say this when we're talking about the word. You are only as good as the last thing that you said. So you need to, in faith, rise up in these last 4 days and say, it's been a tough year, but I'm stronger. It's been a hard year, but I'm more anointed. I've gone through some stuff, but man, I got more behind me in the realm of all the craziness than I do before me. I look in front of me and I see promise and I see protection and I see deliverance and I see the favor of God. When I look behind me, I see everything that God brought me through, that COVID could have taken me out, that a semi-truck swiping into my lane could have taken me out, that one of another 100 ailments could have taken me out. But look where I am today. This has not been the worst year of my life, and I believe that I'm stepping out of a tough year into the greatest year of my life, and I'm going to create the world I want to live in. Somebody say yes. So when we say this has been the worst year of my life, we're telling the devil what he's doing is working. When we say that, we also tell God what he's done is not working. This is tough to preach when we're talking in faith, because we are always asking God to do something. And I stand by the statement, God doesn't do anything. He has already done it. And we as believers have to have enough faith. The Bible says, by his stripes, in Peter, we were made whole. Meaning, I don't need God to heal me. I need God to get my faith to a level that when I pray for healing, I declare healing, and I lay hands on the sick, whether that be me or ye, that we all get healed. Because, oh, come on now. Because what God has done is still working. That's why, as crazy as it gets, I don't care if 2021 gets crazier, you're not going to hear negativity coming out of my mouth. And it's not because I got my head in the sand, and it's not because I'm rainbows and butterflies. It's because I'm a blood-bought Christian. It's because I know God. It's because he knows me. It's because I'm filled with his Holy Ghost, and there ain't nothing in hell that can take away the heaven that God has placed in me and around me. Somebody say goodbye, 2020. The third thing that we say when we say this has been the worst year of my life, we tell ourselves we are not responsible for anything that happens to us. One of my favorite preachers is Jesse Duplantis. He's coming in 6 weeks. I love when the Raging Cajun comes, because Jesse says outlandish things that it can only be said by a man of faith. And when we had the depression or the recession 12 years ago, 2008, 2009, I remember when Jesse came through here, he just said, I just want to announce to everybody that Jesse's not taking part in the recession. It got quiet. Why did it get quiet? Because people were sitting there listening to him say that, who had lost their jobs, whose 401ks had been cut by 80%. And they didn't like someone of faith. Oh, come on now. They didn't like, this is the three versions of people that will hate you. The first thing is they ignore you. Then when you start working on your vision, they laugh at you. Then when your vision comes to pass, they hate you. And Jesse got to the place where he's been so blessed that people would rather hate than learn. And the one thing I learned 12 years ago is, it's what's going on out there I just refuse to participate in. They're going to be sick out there. I'm going to be healthy, I'm going to be wealthy, I'm going to be wise. They're going to be broke out there, I choose not to be broke. I choose to make sound investments. I choose to not spend more than I make. That's how you accumulate savings. I choose to not be one of the 54% of people that get divorced when they get married. Mandy and I choose not to participate in that kind of lifestyle. I choose not to run my kids all over the nation to volleyball tournaments, baseball tournaments, soccer tournaments, and basketball tournaments, because I don't know, as much as I love my kids, they've got about this much chance of playing professionally and making millions of dollars. If I thought they could get there, I might push them more. But at the end of the day, last night when I saw them leading worship and they were singing a line, "Send revival to our land," I was like, God, what? This is what I want. I'm not participating in what everybody else does. I'm here to tell you, I dictate, you dictate how good your 2021 is going to be. All hell breaks loose, that's all right. I'm in the land of Goshen and God's going to take care of me. 2020, again, not naive to loss. 2020 has been the second best year financially that Mandy and I have had ever. That's 40 years, 39 years, and 35 years together. That's a lot of time. Our second best financial year. Can I tell you, the livestock business, the horse business, is the best in 2020 that it has been since the late 1990s. It doesn't make any sense. I tell people that, and they say, man, we're not seeing those kind of prices. Man, we're not seeing that kind of turnover. And I just step back and say, well, the reason you don't and I don't, in my head, I don't want to be offensive with it, but in my head I say, the reason is because I'm in God's hand. I'm about my Father's business. I'm a kingdom kid. Come on. I was raised in this. This is what I believe. This is what I teach. This is what we declare. This is what we prophesy. And I, for one, am not going to be a victim by not taking responsibility that if I want to live in a certain place, that I can call those things that be not as though they are and say, sickness, broke, addiction, depression, I opt out. I'm not going to take part in them. Everything in life is a choice. I've heard it for 39 years from my mama. Hey, Becky Fender sang today. She sang today. She was hitting notes that I ain't heard in a while. Let me tell you something. When you realize that everything is a choice, changes everything. I always say this, and it gets real quiet, so it's quiet now, so I'll go ahead and say it. Depression, choice. You know why? Because you say, well, I can get medicated. You can. Antidepressants. But the moment you quit taking antidepressants, you still find out that what was there is still there. But for those of us in 2020 that tapped into the joy of the Lord, if I've got to choose one or the other, and I got to choose depression or joy, I'm choosing joy every time. If my only options are peace or anxiety, I'm choosing peace every time. God, if you give me the ability and faith to choose healing or sickness, I'm never choosing sickness. I'm always going to choose health. And if I get sick, I'll be made whole. My father's beaten cancer. Pastor Becky beat cancer last year. My brother beat cancer last year. It's because when they woke up with that bad report, they said, well, I've got an option here. Whose report will I believe? Well, I think I'd rather be healed than get chemo, so I choose healing. And even though the chemo might help me get my healing, I'm not going to be sick forever, and I choose to walk and live in health. If my choices are broke or prosperous, I got to choose prosperity. You can't help people if you're broke. And it's amazing to me that all of the anti-prosperity preaching happens from people that live in $300,000 houses. They have two or three cars in their family. Some of them send their kids to private school. Come on now. They wear all kinds of fashionable clothes. They got Louis Vuitton, Coach this, Gucci this, everything. But they say, well, I just don't believe the church. If you really believe that, then you need to sell everything you have. You need to move to Uganda, and you need to give your life for the gospel. But you don't want people to have more than you have. Broke or wealthy? I choose wealth. Because if I'm wealthy, I'm not stressed. If you're rich, you're not frustrated. And then when it comes around and we have all these things and all these projects that you can't help build an orphanage. Come on now. Now, if God has called you to China, Uganda, South America, you need to go. But I believe that I can do more in San Antonio and God can bless me to where I can do something from here in each of those places, all because I said, you know what? I'm not going to choose the ways of the world. I'm going to tap in and create the atmosphere that I want to live in. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm responsible for my life. Philippians 3:12. Not as though I've already apprehended or already attained, either were already made perfect. I love what Paul says here. Paul says, I'm not perfect, and I'm not preaching or teaching you from a place of perfection. Now, I will back up and just give you just a little glimpse into my life that I'm still making tough choices every day. Tough choices on, is my faith where it needs to be? You watch CNN for 15 minutes, you're going to have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting right after. You watch Fox News for 10 minutes, you're going to have to call a prayer partner, praise partner. You're going to have to get in your Bible and have you a three-minute devotional just to clean all that mess out your ears. And I love what Paul said. Paul said, I'm not perfect, but he said, I'm also not what I used to be. Come on. Can I encourage you, church, that you are so much stronger than you were this time last year? What does not kill you makes you stronger. You have come out of COVID stronger, wiser, leaner, more anointed. All of those things because you outlived what the enemy sent to take you out. Not as though I've already attained or we are already made perfect, but I follow after. If I may apprehend, one translation says this, if I may take a hold of what has already taken hold of me. I love that. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind me. Forget those things which are behind. I forget all of the bad behind me. I learned lessons, but I don't forget. I forget all of the craziness, but I learn lessons that I will never forget. I learned that my prayer life can always grow. I learned that worry doesn't do anything for me. I learned that anxiety not only affects me, but it affects those around me, closest to me. And so I'm always learning, and so I take those lessons with me, and I forget all of the craziness, but I bring my testimony with me. I bring my testimony that the devil thought he had me in March, but he didn't. I bring my testimony back from 2008 when I got kicked with both feet in the chest, mule kicked by a horse and broke six ribs, that I'm still living here to tell you because 8 inches up and it would have kicked my face in. I live with a testimony that in 2002 I did get kicked in the face, 39 stitches around my eye, in my nose, and in my mouth. I take all of those to now and think some virus is not going to take me out. If you brought me through all of that mess to get me here today, I feel like my anointing is stronger than it's ever been. Why would God do everything he did to bring you out of that to where you are today to let some silly virus take you out? It is an attack from the devil. It will not work. You've lived with it 9 months. Come on. You can outlive it another 9 months. You can outlive it another 9 years. This is why I don't watch the news right here. I'm talking about within 4 hours of the first person getting the vaccine. Within 4 hours. The next news story was brand new strain of corona that the virus, the vaccine that we have just administered will not help. Within 4 hours. So for 9 months, we begged for the answer. We need an answer. We need a vaccine. We need a vaccine. They give us the vaccine. Half of us don't want it. Half of us want it. And then right after they give it to us, oh, by the way, it's not going to work on everything. And then they start saying, and the side effects, one of the side effects of this virus is death. It could kill you. And now we're just like, what? Where are we? I'm here to tell you, if we could outlive it for 9 months, we will outlive it until Jesus comes. Because if it's not a coronavirus, it's going to be such and such virus. And if it's not that, it's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And if it's not that, it's terrorist attacks. And if it's not that, all of those things are going to happen in this world because the Bible prophesies that they will. But I am here to tell you the brightest days of the church and the brightest days of believer are here and now and in front of us. You're going to see this building filled multiple times a week with people that are groaning and they are ready for a move, ready for a shaking, ready for a quake from heaven. I'm here to tell you all the dead, dry churches, they're going to shut their doors because people are going to wake up in a dark world and say, I've been going here 10 years. Nobody's ever gotten up from a wheelchair. Nobody's ever been healed of AIDS. Nobody's ever had their blinded eyes open. Well, all of those things have happened right here at Living Way Church. And when the news gets out that the blood still flows, that there's still power in the blood, when the word gets out, come on, that this is a Holy Ghost church, that when our shadows fall, just like the apostles, people are going to be healed of cancer, healed of AIDS, healed of every kind of disease there is. I'm here to tell you, now is our time. Forget what is behind you, learn from it, and then put it behind you, and let's march forward in Jesus' name. I gotta hurry. I forget those things that are behind me. I reach forward unto the things which are before. I forget and I reach. I reach. Overused phrase in 2020, 2021, I lean in. You can't backslide if you're reaching forward. Come on, church. You can't go backwards if you're reaching forward. If the devil tries to knock you back when you're reaching forward, all he does is put you in an upright position where you're still standing firm. But I encourage you, reach into 2021. God's got some things that you need to do. God's got some things, and it's a lot of favor and blessing, yes, but God's got a call on your life. God's got a city to reach. God's got a job place to reach. God's got family members for you to reach. Lean in and reach forward to what God has promised you in 2021. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So how do we make sure that our 2021 is not a repeat of 2020? Had a friend of mine that he loves, and he does it halfway jesting, but there's some serious. He knows that Bishop and I, that we're faith preachers. That's what we preach, faith, 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 faith. It's sometimes tough to teach and preach faith in these kind of circumstances and these kind of, because you don't want to be naive to what people are going through, but you know, we're given faith as a weapon, as a tool to get us out of bad places and to get us out of trouble and to get us back in the will of God. And so he said, you still preach a lot of faith? I said, every service we're preaching faith. He said, does it still work? I said, faith always works. People still come to the altar. Every service, we got people on the altar. We're baptizing people almost every service. People getting filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I said, faith always works. And he kind of laughed. He said, yeah, I've had to back off that faith message. It just makes people mad. Truth always does. When people are living below truth and you give them truth, it offends them. But you can either get offended or you can allow the truth to change you so that you become more like the truth. And so if I'm preaching faith makes you mad, can you just stick around for about another 3 months? Because I believe that you got mad and God's going to make you glad when you grasp the revelation of faith that no matter what's going on there, I can live in peace here. Hebrews 12 says this, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There are witnesses in heaven that are rooting you on. Witnesses that are gone freshly this year. Aunties, uncles, grandparents, parents, siblings, maybe even children. They're sitting in the grandstands of heaven and they're rooting you on. Don't stop now. Forget all the nonsense behind you. Forget all that you learned the lessons, but reach forward to the things which are ahead of you. But not only is all four of my grandparents are rooting me on now. Leslie Nichols, who sat right here, he's rooting me on now. 7 years ago today, Franklin Fergosa, who sat right where Mandy's sitting, we laid him to rest. He's cheering louder than anybody in heaven. Willie Walker, Gary Blair, Lenny Stark, Jacqueline Price, all those that have been taken way too early from this church,
going back a few years, Walter and Ann Cakey, they're all in heaven saying, Brandon, keep preaching like you're preaching, Living Way, keep worshiping like you're worshiping. Believers, keep going. God's got so much in front of you. But listen, intermingled in between my grandparents, David himself, come on, is saying, Brandon, I defeated Goliath and you got the Holy Ghost. That's not fair. You've been given the Holy Ghost. I was back in the time when we weren't filled with the Holy Ghost like you. I believe that not only is David, but Esther, Paul, John, Mary, Joseph, James, I believe they're all up there saying, you can do it. Just keep going. Don't give up. Don't back down. Don't quit now. God's got a greatness on the other side of your Goliath. Keep fighting. Keep swinging. But it said that we must do two things. I'm going to finish today with this. Two things to run our race. We must lay aside every weight and every sin. How many of you travel a lot? I don't travel as much as I used to. This is the first year in probably 30 years that I did not get on an airplane. And I'll break that record next month because I got to fly to be in a wedding. I don't like airports. And everybody's just doing this. I did see a guy the other day, though. Last time I traveled, he had a remote on his. I don't know if you've seen it. Wherever he walked, his bag just with 3 feet behind him, just following wherever he went. That's what I need. I either need that or I need to make Tyler or Jaden go with me so they can carry my bags. They can be my armor bearers. But you just see people in the airports. And they're just, I mean, every once in a while I'll see someone dragging their kids on one of these. And they got stuff that they're taking with them. They're going to a new place and they want to make sure that when they get there they have everything they need. But it's amazing to me that when they made that rule about 50 pounds in your baggage, the things that you've suddenly don't need. Sorry, sir, your bag is 54 pounds. Well, how much is it if I just go ahead and take it at 54? Well, we're going to charge you another $100. I unzip that bad boy so quick. I'm taking out treasured items that Mandy gave me when we were dating. I'm taking out all kinds of things. Here, take the bag. I don't even need it. I'll fly right now. Because we find that there are things that we travel with that we really don't need. And then every once in a while, you see the guy that's got two of them. And he can barely walk. And if he's got to turn, I mean, he's cumbersome in his movement because he's carrying too much. And he's carrying things to the new destination he was never supposed to carry. He is bringing things to the new season that he was never supposed to bring. Can I encourage you? 2021 can and should be a great year for believers. But it all comes down to this. What are you going to bring into your 2021? What are you going to leave behind in 2020? There's a whole lot of stuff that I'm glad to say goodbye to. You can't follow me into my new. You can't follow me into my next. And I'm encouraging everybody at Living Way, it's time to unpack your bags so you can repack your bags and make sure that the only things I'm carrying are things that are vital for my maturation, my growth, and for me to press forward to the high calling and the prize that is Jesus Christ. And if I don't need it, it's not going with me. I've got a garage full. Still haven't unpacked. We've lived in our house now for 14 months. And none of us park in the garage. Got three cars in the driveway. And it's because of stuff that Mandy and I said we needed. If it's been in the garage for 14 months, I don't need it. I might think I need it. I might think I want it. But Brother Mark, I've proved the last 14 months what I thought I needed, I don't need. I've proven over the last 14 months what I thought I wanted to take, I didn't really need to take it because I've existed, I've lived, and I've lived well without all of those clothes. Come on now. Let me preach to myself for a while. All those large and extra large shirts that I say one day soon, I'm going to wear those. I ain't worn those since 2006. I haven't been a medium since sixth grade.
And here I got boxes of clothes that I say I'm going to, and I've proven I'm not going to need those to wear. I want to encourage, there's somebody that you've got the right declaration, but what you're saying is there some things I'm taking? You might have the right declaration, but baby, you got 4 days to unpack those bags and make sure that everything that you are carrying and dragging into your new year is going to be what God has called you to have. Come up here real quick, Chris. Help me real quick. Pastor Becky, if you'll stand up and at least put a little pressure on me. Unzip that one for me. Chris, you're a blessing, bro. I appreciate you, man. Y'all love Chris. Chris is awesome. So we got all of these boxes. I got peace. Anybody got peace? Peace that surpasses all understanding, meaning this, peace that doesn't make no sense. How are you so peaceful, Jesus? Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Jesus. So I'm going to make sure that I have that one when we repack. In the heaviest year of traveling, I traveled 19 weeks, and then I stopped. Jane was one or two. I stopped traveling to be here more, be with my family more. But one of the things I hated to do was come home, unpack on a Friday or a Thursday, just have to repack and leave the very next day. But you have to unpack to make sure that all of the clothes that are dirty and all the things that you're not going to need are taken out so that you can put the things that you do need in. And so then we've got anxiety. I don't need it. Right behind you, there's a trash bag. Go ahead and open that trash bag while I preach this point. There's some things that you need to put in your suitcase because those things that are in the suitcase are going to your next level. But there's another thing that you need to pack, and that's a garbage bag. And what I've learned in my life is that once it goes in the garbage bag, even if somebody wants to pull it out, it's so gross that nobody wants to dig through the trash to get, oh, come on now. I don't think we got many dumpster divers in here. And so anxiety, you can't make the trip in 2020. What else we got here? We got faith. I'm going to need a whole lot of faith in 2021, and you are too. There's going to be some giants that show up in February. There's going to be some statistics that they share on the news that unless you have faith, it's going to cripple your courage. But we've got faith here at Living Way. You're going to take faith. Make sure you put faith back in your suitcase. What else we got here? We got doubt. Doubt cannot stay. Doubt does not work. What you've got to learn, the only thing you can doubt is doubt itself. Next time doubt tries to creep up, use the same weapon against the adversary that he tried to use you. Brandon, I'm going to bring this gift of doubt. No, you're not. I doubt your doubt. It will not work. It will not stay. It cannot stand. We got to get rid of the doubt. What else we got here? We got love. All we need, we should have used a bigger box. We need a whole lot of love. We got a bunch of racial things going on that should not be going on. Let me encourage. I couldn't get to the verse, but the Bible says those that hate cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There will not be one person in heaven that is a racist. Racism cannot go to heaven, and the only way that you can cure racism is to love. It's not enough just to not hate. You've got to love them. You've got to embrace that person. You've got to go out of your way to be Jesus to them. We're going to need love. What else we got? Oh, this is a big one. Unforgiveness. You can't carry this into 2021, church. You've carried it too long. 3 days is too long, let alone 3 years, 3 decades. Well, you don't know what my dad did to me. I don't know what your dad did to you, but I know what God did for you. I don't know what it's like not growing up, not knowing who your mom is, but I do know that God said that he's an ever-present help. Unforgiveness ties you to your past, and you cannot reach and press forward if you're holding on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness cannot make the trip. It's got to go. I cannot hate. I remember when I used to, growing up, man, I hate this, I hate that. My mama used to say, you don't hate anything but the devil. I hate Johnny. He wouldn't pick me to be on his team. No, you don't hate him. What can I? You dislike him strongly, but you don't hate him. You don't have to like anybody, but you have to love everybody. Hate has no place in 2021. I'm going to take my joy. His joy is my strength. His joy is your strength. in your times of weakness in 2021. And I am here to tell you there is going to be times when it's going to be hard to roll out of bed and put one foot in front of the next. But realize your strength does not come from a bottle. Your strength does not come from a substance. Your strength does not even come from your squad or circle of friends. Your strength comes from Jesus. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We're going to keep that one. Say no to fear. I have no place for fear. Your boy ain't scared of anything, and you shouldn't be scared either. God has already conquered everything. If you have faith, you can't have fear. The Bible actually labels fear as a sin. Some people have preached you can be fearful and faithful. I'm sorry, you can't actively be faithful and be sinning at the same time. You need some faith to overcome the fear, and then we're going to have hope. And there's no such thing. I've preached this. Stand on your feet. We're almost done. I preached this for many years. Hope, hope, hope. There's no such thing as false hope. I got blasted one time on social media giving false hope to all these people, and I just kindly retorted. I said, there is no such thing as false hope, because that's what hope is. Hope is that tomorrow is going to be better. Hope is that next year is going to be better. Well, what if this happens? What if it does? What if it doesn't? I still have hope. Hope that God will keep me from it or keep it from me, or he'll keep us through it. I'm letting worry go. It can't come. If you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. You got to let go of the hurt, people. Don't carry it. We already talked about unforgiveness, hurt. Well, they hurt me. Well, I got hurt at church, so I'm just not going to go. I got offended at Outback the last time I went, but I still eat steaks. You can get mad all you want. You can carry that hurt. Or you can say, God, I forgive them. You don't even have to talk to them to forgive them. Don't let that unforgiveness and that hurt affect you. I'm not taking it with me. Oh, yeah, we're going to need some Holy Ghost. I want to make sure that Holy Ghost follows me into 2021, because it's going to lead, guide, discern, help me make it to where God has called me to be. And finally, I'm going to take some vision. Man, I didn't even plan that. The last two, Holy Ghost and vision, we got great vision at Living Way. As a church, I want you to get great vision for your family, spiritually, physically, financially, relationally, marriage, everything that you're connected to. Vision, vision, vision. Our team, we're always talking about vision. We're always talking about vision. We're always talking about next, what God's going to do, how we're going to get there. And so, Chris, I want you to pack those back up in the suitcase there while I preach this last point for 30 seconds. The Bible says this. Cast your cares on Christ, for he cares for you. Casting your cares doesn't mean leaving them and walking away. Oh, I don't want to throw it that way. Heads up over there, tree. Throw it as far away as you can throw it. And when you get your suitcase full of everything you need for 2021, you find out I've got more room for the good things of God, because I got rid of the cares, and I got rid of the sin, and I got rid of the weight that 2020 just drug me down with. But man, under Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, I let it all go. I cast those cares on Christ, and now I've got more room for everything. I know that Mike and Jameson are not the only ones. I want to open this altar up. And listen, I think it would be good if God's moving on you, Dad. Mom's moving on you. God's moving on you, Mom. If you just grab your family, come down with your families to this altar, and let's get ready to step into the greatest year of our life. I've said it before. I know it's an old saying. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what next year holds, but I know who holds my next year. I know that there are some things in my life that I need to make sure don't follow me into a new year. God bless these families. God bless these families. God bless you, young people. God bless you, new friends, new members. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Robert and Diane, the greatest season of your life is in front of you. Cast those cares, making brand new space. Sister Diane, your retirement, 35 years behind you. You learned a lot. You were blessed a lot. But all the doors are wide open of destiny before you. And I declare your next season is going to be greater than your last season. Elijah, in the name of Jesus, God's got it for you. Casting cares and carrying the weight of all of the good things. Casting worry and anxiety, but carrying faith and vision. Casting fear and casting hate and doubt, but carrying power of the Holy Spirit and everything that we will need in 2021. The news will try to scare you the first week of the new year. We're not naive to the fact that all of that stuff's going on. We just choose to live in faith and say, God, you've got my today, you've got my tomorrow, you hold my hand. If you're in this house today, if you're watching online, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, now is your moment. Without Jesus, you cannot go to a real place called heaven. Heaven is for eternity. Heaven and hell. Say, why would God, a good God, make hell for people to go to? God never made hell for people to go to. God created hell for the devil to go to. But it is his desire that you and I would say yes to him so that we can avoid hell and spend eternity with Jesus. Not only King and Lord and Savior, but Lord here on this earth. If you need Jesus, now is the moment. Come to this altar. Man, everybody showed up in the altar. Nobody cared to socially distance. That's on y'all. All right, we're trying our best. But y'all got close, but you can come way over here off the side if you need space. But we're going to pray right now, and I want everybody in this altar to lift up your hands. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, now is the moment. Talk to one of our altar workers, one of our ministers. If you want to be baptized, now is the moment. We're going to baptize people, but a brand new day is dawn. Pastor Becky, if you'll help us worship. Ushers, if you'll get ready for a second mile, I'll come to them. I forgot about it. But I want to just make a special prayer for this family unbelievable family. You've heard the testimony of Brian. Brian has just, I mean, he's just gave us a shot of so much of the Holy Ghost these last 2 years. Brian was diagnosed with cancer. He decided to have his leg amputated. It hasn't stopped him. He's now in PT and getting personally trained so he can get back on the football field. And Brian, I want to tell you that you've given life to so many things in your family. And from Robert and Angie, Angel, Haley, Eric, Rob, I just want to declare that what you've been through in 2019 and 2020, you learned a lot. But there's some things from before that that tried to follow you in. And God, I pray that we would break the hold of everything from their past that was not meant to make the trip. And God, I believe that the moment, the same thing that happened to Abraham when he turned Lot away, I believe the same thing, that there is a new blessing, that there is a new season that is coming to them as they cast their cares and they carry the promise of God. A new day is dawning, not just a new year, not just the turning of a calendar, but seasons are shifting and seasons are changing in Jesus' name. From the youngest of Eric to the eldest, Robert, in Jesus' name, we declare it so. Amen and amen. Somebody give God praise. I'm going to come down and I'm going to pray with those that have gathered in this altar real quick. It comes down to one thing, church, what we cast and what we carry. 2021 comes down to one thing, what we cast and what we carry. I want you to take inventory over the next 4 days of your life. And I promise all of us, including the man holding the microphone, we all have things that were not meant to cross the threshold of 2021. Cast them on Jesus. He cares for you. And then grab hold and carry every promise of God, every weapon of faith that he's given us. And I believe that our best year, we're standing on the brink of it, not as a church only, but as individual believers walking our faith out in public. Amen. Stretch your hands forward one more time as we pray. God, I thank you for these families. I thank you for these young people that have been brought down, God, by family. Lord, I believe, God, that right now you are marking them, God. You are ministering to them. Right now, God, they cast cares. Lord, the past that they've walked out of, God, they cast all of those things on you, God. The things that have tried to separate, the things that have tried to drive wedges in between them and you, they cast those on you, Jesus, and now they carry the promise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in these families, God, that have come to this altar. Lord, a brand new day is starting. A brand new season is dawning. In the name of Jesus, faith has shown up today. Faith has shown up today. As you get baptized, a glorious new season has started because you announced to the world, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And as you pursue Jesus, you leave this world behind and you become everything he called and created you to be. We cast it and then we carry what God has called us to have. Give God praise one more time. If you got a second mile offering, lift it up. I'm 4 minutes over time. God, we thank you for what you've said, what you've done in this building. Lord, this is a moment where we go above and beyond tithe. Lord, we go second mile. Lord, we pray that you do something great in it and with it. That, Lord, ministry would be exponentially increased because of what we do here today. Oh, bless it for kingdom ministry and family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. If you got a gold envelope, they'll be by to grab those from you. You can drop it in the offering plate as well for social distancing. Want to encourage you, Wednesday night, Bishop will be preaching. It is our last service of 2020. The reason I preach this today is it's the last time I'll be able to address you in church, not on social media, and I wanted to just get you fired up and ready. It all comes down to what you cast and what you carry. I'm carrying the promise of God. I'm carrying a greater faith. I'm carrying a greater joy, peace, strength, greater Holy Ghost with me into 2021, and I'm come to declare you ain't seen nothing yet in every way. We got people to be baptized. So awesome. If you can stay and rejoice with them, we'd love that. But if you need to go and catch lunch or brunch, we'll see you Wednesday night. If not Wednesday, Saturday. If not Saturday, Sunday. We love you. And remember, Jesus loves you 24 hours each and every day. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Say yesterday's gone.